Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Heart and Soul Holistics.
Love Hope Radio.
We are going to be talking about a spirit release today, and it's really something that I think most people probably aren't that familiar with, but I really don't know. It's kind of been around a really long time. What spirit attachment is when your field, your energy field, has, in a sense, attracted an energy to it, and it's not necessarily serving you in any way. It's actually making you fatigued. It's bringing different feelings to your system that you really don't want. You want to be cleared. Your system needs to be cleared. And this is what this show is about. We're going to start to talk about it. We're going to start to let you understand it from a deeper perspective on how this can happen. My guest tonight is my good friend Davis Clay. She's a certified hypnotherapist and light worker. She's been one for 13 years, I think. She does dream work. She's been around and in the field of healing for quite a long time, and so her information and expertise is someone that I really look towards, and I know that she'll be able to answer more questions for you. So I'm going to invite her on the show. Let's see. Hi, Davis. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. Well, welcome to my show. I'm so happy that you're here. And really, I think that what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, we just kind of start to let people get into a really comfortable and calm space. So I'm going to turn this over to you because you are such a beautiful way of centering people. And we can just start the show with a nice meditation to have people kind of move on into their spirit.
That would be wonderful. So I invite everybody who's listening to get in a nice, comfortable position, whatever that means for you. You can be sitting upright or lying down. Some people might even choose to stand. I invite you to take a few deep breaths. And when you breathe out, you can consciously let go of your day, everything that has taken place previous to this moment. You can just let it all go with your out-breath. And we're going to first take a step towards grounding ourselves. It helps us to be more present in our lives. So see a grounding cord going down into the earth from the lower portion of your body. Use whatever imagery works best for you. That may be some people like to envision a tree trunk as their body with roots going down into the earth. Whatever works best for you. See it connecting in to the lower three chakras of your body and then going down into the earth, all the way down, clear to the center of the earth. Just allow your imagination, your attention to go down further and further to the center of the earth. And when your grounding cord arrives at the center of the earth, anchor it in some way or another. Hook it in. And now you can feel yourself solidly rooted on this planet and in your physical experience. And now that that's the case, allow yourself to imagine a column of white light entering your being through your crown chakra. See this beautiful, luminous light coming from a divine source entering your being through your crown, and see that column of white light going all the way down through your body, through your crown chakra, your brow chakra, throat, heart, solar plexus, your second chakra, your root chakra, and down your grounding cord, seeing this column of white light going all the way down the grounding cord to the center of the earth. Filling your being with light. And once you see this column of white light going all the way down through your being like this, imagine that that column of white light starts spinning. And allow it to spin. And it gains momentum, and as it spins faster and faster, the centrifugal force allows it to expand outward. And as this column of white light expands outward, it clarifies your being. It clears you. It clears all aspects of you. It clears every single cell of your physical being, and it clears every single aspect of your non-physical being. And you can either see things being pushed out, or you can see them consumed by the white light as it clears your space, clears your being, all the way down through your grounding cord. Just allow it to continue to spin, helping you to be clearer and clearer. And this raises your frequency also. So not only does every cell get cleared, but every cell has an increase in frequency, filled with more light. And as this happens, as your being gets cleared and your frequency is increased, it also helps you with your groundedness. Your groundedness helps you to communicate clearly. And this helps us to be more aligned with our higher selves and with our guides, which will help us to communicate with each other tonight too, as we feel at peace and clear and aligned and grounded. Now allow your focus to shift, bringing this aligned experience of yourself into the room that you're in. You can open your eyes, grounding your experience into the current time and space, which should now allow us to have a wonderful experience of communication about spirit attachment and spirit release.
Very nice. Thank you for that. So I guess the question for you, Davis, is that most people, I'm not sure if they're aware of this condition. I kind of feel it. So like a condition that is going on for them. So what are some of the symptoms, in a sense, or some of the feelings that they may have if this is indeed going on for them?
I like to refer to a checklist that was published by Edith Fiore in her book called The Unquiet Dead. And I find it to be extensive and so helpful in not only using when I'm working directly with somebody, but also in helping people to have a sense of whether or not they might be experiencing spirit attachment. So I'll go through this checklist with your guest right now, mm-hmm. if that seems like a good idea. So I do want to say that just because you might experience some of the symptoms on these lists, it does not necessarily mean you definitely have spirit attachments, but it may mean that you do have them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is a lack of energy, persistent lowered energy. And this is because if we have a spirit that's existing within our energy field, they are using our life force to exist themselves. So that's a very common side effect or an effect of having a spirit attachment. Another thing on the checklist is changes in personality. So sometimes we don't notice this ourselves, but those around us might notice a change in personality, or rapid mood swings, or acting out of character. The third thing on the checklist is hearing voices. Occasionally, they are voices that seem familiar to us. Sometimes a person who has spirit attachments will refer to themselves as we instead of I. The next thing on the checklist is a tendency toward addictive behaviors, especially substance abuse, alcohol abuse, drug use, food addiction, etc. Any kind of addictive behavior that takes us out of our presence, our focus, anything that helps us to escape. The next thing on the list is being impulsive to act without really thinking about what we're doing. Then there are memory problems, or concentration problems, difficulty staying focused, sometimes feeling as though we're in a fog or not able to really get clear with our thinking. Sometimes spirit attachment shows up in the form of having a sudden onset of anxiety or depression for no real discernible reason. Another issue would be the onset of physical problems that don't seem to have an obvious cause. Another thing on the checklist is hospitalization, having trouble recuperating, new pains or symptoms that don't seem related to the condition, and then also emotional or physical reactions to any of these things that we've talked about that I've brought up on the checklist. So if while listening to the checklist you had an emotional or physical reaction, that could sometimes indicate that you might have a spirit attachment also.
Mm-hmm.
And then
wow.
The last thing is having the experience of waking up during the night and thinking that there's somebody standing by your bed. And that is the list.
I'm thinking to myself, wow, boy, that has happened frequently throughout my lifetime. So I feel like, yeah, this is something that we really have to look at as what we've been dealing with. Now, after you do get a spirit release, what do people normally feel? That's a good question, because I think they... And how many release entity or spirits could they have? That's another good question. So let's do.
Well, let's take that in pieces, and let's just first talk about how many spirits it's possible to have in the form of attachments, or entities in the form of attachments, and because when we have one spirit attachment, that spirit is going to utilize some of our life force, which is going to make us weaker, and that makes us more vulnerable to getting another attachment. So I think it's much more common that people have more than one spirit attachment than it is that they have just one, just because of that. And
so I'm thinking, like, let's say, you know, could it be possible, and this is what, that they bring their friends with them to hang out?
You know,
like if someone, have you ever had that happen?
I have experienced that. It's not as common, but sometimes what happens is during a releasement process, we could be working with just one entity, but when that entity leaves, when that spirit leaves and goes into the light, a bunch of others will just go with it. Well, it's almost like a rush that everybody's running for the light all at the same time, and so as a result, I've never been able to find out whether those others came along with that one, and they were part of a family or part of a team or whatever, or whether they were just other entities that existed within the person's energy field, and consequently they saw an opportunity to go into the light and went also at the same time.
Right, yeah. And I've noticed that if there was a clan, like, you know, that they, if it was a soldier, and I released that soldier, there may be other soldiers that were with that particular energy, and they left. So it's real interesting. So what are some of the things that people would say that after they release a spirit that they feel?
That can be really varied. When I had my first spirit releasement, I was really very emotional afterward. And it didn't seem to make sense to me. I'm talking about when I had an experience in which spirits were released from my energy field, and I didn't even realize that I had any entities in my energy field. And after they left, I just had this breakdown, this an emotional breakdown. I had a real experience of grief. That didn't make sense to me. Now I understand that it's more because conscious or not of entities, we are accustomed to them in our field. So somebody might have a reaction as extreme as that, feeling disoriented. They could feel grief. They could also feel great joy. They can feel lightness. They can feel clearer. Or they might not feel much change at all right away, but they notice in the subsequent days that they're responding differently to things in their lives, they're interacting with people differently, etc. So it's quite varied how people might or might not respond to having a releasement done. I also find that it's probably, my experience has been, it's probably better to take a few off at a time instead of trying to get everything at once, because I think that when you do clear off a large number all at once, sometimes that can be when it's difficult to function afterward because of time, I think we need time to integrate how to experience life without these other spirits that we've been working through or experiencing our lives, having them almost like a filter that we're experiencing our lives through.
And so how old could some of these spirits be that are attached to people?
Gosh, I think they could be just about any age. The what happens, where these spirits come from that can be attached to people, it's pretty simple. It's just that when someone has passed away, for any number of reasons, they did not transition on like other people would. So their spirit, after they have left their physical body, for whatever reason, has not gone into the light and onto the next phase of existence. And they've become earthbound as a result. So it could be any age. A spirit who is earthbound can be any age.
And could they have been with that person for lifetimes, or does it just happen within this lifetime?
They can be with us for lifetimes, or they may come to us just in this lifetime. Another thing I've noticed is that many people who have spirit attachments have gotten at least one of them in their own childhood, when we're more innocent and vulnerable and don't necessarily keep our boundaries up, et cetera. And if a child is having a difficult childhood, then it makes them even more vulnerable to receiving a spirit attachment. And then as we grow into adults, we don't know our lives any differently than the life we've had with this attachment. We don't necessarily notice that there's anything wrong because they've been with us for a long time. But sometimes we can have attachments that have come to us in previous lifetimes. And that is more often revealed in doing a past life regression.
Right, I was just going to say, so are there two different techniques, in a sense, to understand how long they've been there? So one would, you'd bring them into a past life to find out how, if that is a spirit that's been there a long time. And can this spirit overlay on the person's personality so that it has assumed itself so strongly, you know, in that person's character that it almost is on top of the person's system, energy system?
So there's two ways of responding to that. One would be to say that if we do receive spirit attachments in our childhood, then we don't know that how we are expressing in the world is not our own personality, because we're being the way we've been since we were children.
Right.
And once that entity clears from our energy field, we might notice our personality as being different, and it's actually who we really were without the influence of the entity.
And so that's why I'm feeling that you would be mindful, in a sense, of taking too many away too quickly.
That
so
would
that
be part of it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so let's say you are feeling like, yes, this is what's been going on for me. So they would come and see you, and do you regress them, or do you do a specific type of session that would let you understand if there were attachments?
We do a specific type of session, and if they have an entity that has been with them from previous lifetimes, that will come up during the process. Because it's one of the questions I like to ask is how long that entity has been with the person. And the entity will answer and say how long it's been. And at that point, if it doesn't seem like it was from this lifetime, then you can ask the entity what was going on in that lifetime, when was that, et cetera, so that you can find out how far back that entity has been with the person.
And so have you ever had spirits that were stubborn, that did not want to leave the person's energy field?
That's far more rare than those who are willing to leave. And there might be a period of negotiating with them, but I think most spirits, once they see that they are being invited to transition on, because many of them don't even realize they aren't alive in their own bodies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be a process of having to help them to realize that they have died and that they did not cross over. And once they realize that, and they see that they have an opportunity to complete the process, and then we call in their loved ones to come and get them, and that is that's the step that really seems to be the most powerful for these entities, regardless of how stubborn they have been about leaving or not leaving. Once they see one or more of their loved ones who have come to get them, then they leave pretty easily.
Then they leave.
There have been a few occasions in which they weren't willing to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, what I would do is put them into white light. And then after a period of time, even then, they seem willing to leave. There are things that you can do to help force them along, but I've never had to do that. And I like the fact that they get to move into the light because they want to. They do it as opposed to being forced to do it.
Right, right. And so, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, we are so attached now to these new shows that are out on ghost hunting and all that. And so just as easy as a home or a could be, in a sense, affected by spirits that didn't leave. People are also, I mean, we're pure energy. You know, if you think about how they're actually talking to these ghosts are through electric, you know, frequencies.
Right.
So
right.
We are pure energy.
Yes.
So
yes.
That makes so much sense to me that, of course, we are attracting those that are looking for frequency to attach to. Just makes so much sense, you know.
Right. And it also explains the type of spirits that might come to me as opposed to coming to you, because they're experiencing themselves energetically, whether they're aware of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find themselves drawn to what they resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had a particular lifestyle or a particular traumatic experience or a particular type of challenge in their lives, they might be attracted to somebody who has that same thing going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
yeah.
I might attract a particular type of an energy, and you might attract something different depending on the differences between us and where our vulnerabilities lie and where our doors are open, so to speak, to allow
that things. Makes so much sense, too. So is there anything that, you know, we can do to help you know, I guess not be so vulnerable to spirits attaching to us? Is there something
yes.
that, yeah.
Yeah, so there are two different levels. One of them is having protective practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is to live our lives so that we end up not needing to worry about that as much. Of course, the protective practices are good for many reasons besides preventing spirit attachments. We live in a very rushed, busy, stressful, and compact lives, and so it's good to have protective practices.
Yeah.
But beyond that, certain behaviors in our lives and certain experiences in our lives make us more vulnerable to spirit attachments. So, like I said earlier, any kind of addictive behavior, when we are engaging in addictive behavior, we are checked out. And when we're checked out, we're not watching the shop. We are not watching the doors and windows, et cetera. So it makes it easier to allow entities into our energy field. In addition to that, if we are engaged in a particular type of addictive behavior, let's say drinking, drinking alcohol, and there's a spirit out there that also was an alcoholic in their lifetime, they're going to be attracted to your resonance. Then add to that that if you go to, let's say, a bar to engage in this heavy drinking and you're in a space where that's what happens, then that place is also going to attract spirits to it that resonate with that alcohol energy. And so there's a triple effect right there, making you most vulnerable. So not engaging in behaviors that allow us to just check out. If we're going to do something and we're aware of it, that sets us up for checking out, to set up protection in our space and around our being beforehand. And then there are things that, you know, we just can't predict, like difficult childhood, difficult growing up experiences, trauma, various types of trauma make us vulnerable. Hospitalization makes us vulnerable because we're obviously checked out during surgeries, and many people die during in hospitals, and so their spirits might end up being attached to those places. There are a number of other things, but I'm sure you get the idea.
I do, yeah, absolutely. So for people that travel to you know, ancient places as well, where a lot of death had happened, you know, I always personally, because I am a medium, I always protect, only because I really know that I'm seeing and feeling a lot of things. So I get that on that level, too. We have to know that we're going to attract somebody to say, oh, you can hear me? Oh, you can see me? You know, and they'll follow you home. And you hear about that a lot happening on these shows, and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So it's really something that we have to know as being sensitive beings that we are beacons of light, too, for those that are looking for someplace to go.
Right.
So,
and even a different type of sensitivity, even for people who aren't necessarily mediums or intuitive, but people who are just, let's say, very sympathetic. Let's say they went to a battlefield in the South, and while they were walking through this field, they just started being open or sensitive to all the suffering that took place there. Then their resonance might attract an entity who said, oh, there's somebody there who is dialed into the suffering that took place here, and so they might find a door to walk in right there.
And so, like, let's say you are feeling like, now I'm a mother, so I have a teenager, and I have to say that you had helped me with an entity that I really knew was on my son because I could see it. And I could really talk to it, actually. So it was really wonderful that you can help relieve someone that you love that may not be open to doing it themselves. But it is quite, you know, that you could help somebody, especially teenagers. I really feel that because their games are so violent and they are open and they don't really know how to protect themselves. I mean, I've mentioned it to my son many times, and he looks at me like, yeah, Mom, right, sure, you know. So it's like, I get that probably that would be pretty much a standard teenager out there that didn't really want to be told about this, but it definitely is happening. And so when you see a change in your child, and when you feel a change that they've become angry and not really as open and loving as they had been, and it just happened within a day or two, I tune in, and I get that. That's what you have to do, is tune in and feel around the child to see if you are picking up on anything that feels abnormal or unusual or brings you to their energy system in some way, because that's really what you would be doing in a session. And just answered some of the questions that Davis said in the beginning of the show, and to see whether or not these are some behaviors that might be happening.
Let's say your child recently had an outpatient visit at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
or had some sort of a traumatic event, like an automobile accident or something like that. And then shortly after that, aside of the normal experience that your person might be going through after something like that,
mm-hmm.
if they seemed to be not themselves, then...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of those things on the checklist seem to apply for them, then that might be what was going on for your child,
mm-hmm.
is that they have picked up an attachment.
Right. And so now let's say your child is quite young, and like 2, 3, 4. And, I mean, I remember being a very psychic child and being scared to death to go to sleep at night. Because I was seeing spirit all the time. And I've been hearing that with a lot of these indigo and crystalline children that are don't want to go to sleep at night alone, don't want to be alone in the room when it's dark. They are feeling and seeing a lot of entities, really. And so can we help them is the question, Davis. Can we help them have an easier time at it before they can really put words and, you know, tell us about it? Can we help them with this situation?
I think that when they're really, really small, the best thing to do is to just do protective practices for your child.
Mm-hmm.
So to set up the room before sleeping and put it, and we can at another time walk through what protective practices are for those people who don't necessarily know them. But just to make things a little more streamlined right now.
Mm-hmm.
For a real small child, I would just engage in protective practices for that child because they're not old enough yet to be doing it for themselves. And then as they get older, I would introduce these practices to them and help them to build the skill so that they can do this for themselves. And you know, a lot of us grew up saying prayers before going to bed when we were
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
We had various types of prayers that we said before we went to bed. And that's a form of setting up a protective space within
mm-hmm.
your bedroom before you go to sleep. And you can, so you would set up a protective field for the child. You would teach the child how to do it for themselves. And then as they matured and got older, they would refine it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I would think would be
yeah.
Better.
So I see some caller. I would love to stay. They've been on for a while. I'd love to just talk to us and see how it is for those. So it's an 843 number. We're going to invite you on the show. Hold on a sec. And what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is Pooja.
Pooja, how are you? So nice to
Good
hear
morning.
Your voice. So, have you been experiencing, or has any of this resonated with what you have been seeing and feeling around you? I know you're a body worker, so
mm-hmm.
has this been something that you've been aware of, these entities or energetic spirits that have been clinging on people's energy fields? Have you seen them?
Yes, on other people, and I've seen them around me, and I've taken on a new perspective on them, though, that
mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't have before, but I see them more as light and information nowadays, and a lot of the stuff that I know I'm experiencing, I feel, is like maybe a projection, you know, of stuff from the past, or I don't know, I've taken more of a shaman kind of, like, interpretation of what they were and what they are and that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
it's a little different. I do see them around people a lot. I mean, even just having a conversation with someone, you know.
So you can pick up and listen and hear something that's not quite like, that sounds like somebody else speaking. Yeah. I know that one too, yeah. So you've been around them for so long, you're kind of, you're tuned in to that's not you. that's somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't rarely, like, they don't bother me as much, and I'm really kind of seeing them as something different now, whereas before I saw them as, like, you know, like really scary entities, and I'm sure that some of those are, I know those are around, you know, but I think a lot of the ones that I do experience now are the one, they're just, it just seems to be, you know, information, like just light and information, and I think I perceive them as shadows sometimes, like, I mean, I can definitely hear them, and I'm sure I'm, you know, I'm sure I'm picking up on all kinds of things, but I'm not as afraid as I used to be. I guess that perception just doesn't, you know.
And so, Davis, I was just going to ask Davis about afraid. Yeah.
Before I started doing this type of work, and before, the first big step for me was having my own experience of having spirits released from my energy field, and then I saw how benign those spirits were, and then started working with other people around it too, and seeing how benign a lot of these spirits are, and so I'm not as afraid as I used to, and I have encountered a few of them that were dark, but for the most part, I think that they want to have some experience of resolution also, so I found it to be less frightening than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to get away from, is that because it's a spirit, you know, we are afraid of it. You know, I hear people say, oh, I really don't, I don't want to go there, I'm afraid, you know, they'll, and yet, you know, were you afraid, like, when you went into the supermarket and you walked by, you know, 10 people that passed you, been, you know, by, and you didn't even say hello, but they were there in the same space that you were in, and yet they weren't, you know, going to hurt you in any way, they were just coming kind of through, in a sense, or by you, and some might hang out in the same line as you, and I always kind of believe that, you know, that's as benign as they can be, you know, they're just on a different plane, and they're hanging out around you, and they don't know quite yet where to go, and they do want direction, and that's what I get, that's what we're giving them, is a chance to recognize and have a voice, remember who they were, and remember the light. And really, that's what we're doing. We're helping them remember that they had a childhood, they loved someone, they have someone on the other side that they would love to connect with. We're reminding them that they had this experience. And then once they remember, they go willingly and beautifully. And that's all we're doing. It's like, you know, when if you're getting lost and you're driving down the street and you just stop and you say, could you tell me the direction? And they go, oh, it's just over here. And you go, oh, thank you so very much. And you go, you know. It feels like that to me. It just feels like we're giving them the, here, go over here, look over there, and then there they go. You know, it's very simple and lovely, and that's what I keep getting, and surely not scary. You know, I was surprised at that myself, you know, because I think, you know, we have all these feelings about it. And But I just really get that, you know, everybody wants to go home. You know, everybody wants to find their way. And that's what this work really does do, I believe, is really help those souls that just didn't have a chance or didn't know they even passed, died suddenly and quickly, or didn't even have a spiritual sense of who they were when they were on this plane. And so that's what we're here to do, is just really help them remember, you know.
So Pooja, that's your name, right, Pooja?
Yes, Pooja.
Great. Have you ever had an experience of having an entity in your own physical body or in your energy field?
Yes, many times. There was one in May, I think, that was attacking me pretty regularly. So definitely. I've experienced it.
So when you were able to clear this energy, did you go to somebody for help, or were you able to do it on your own?
That was probably the hardest one I've ever experienced. So I ended up going to a shaman.
Okay.
And that was when I started taking on a different kind of perspective, you know?
Right.
On them. So
And when the shaman helped you, were you able to, like, things through that entity's eyes, or were you able to kind of have a sense of what the entity was experiencing in the process of releasing it?
A little bit. You know, she kind of saw it as a little baby, whereas I was experiencing it as, like, it was just really bad. I mean, I wasn't even able to sleep. There was one experience where, like, I felt like he was pushing me off the bed. And so I don't know how much of it was, like, projected fear on my part, you know, and how she was probably seeing it with different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still kind of, you know, walking that line where I'm not quite sure, but I haven't had an experience like that ever. That was a really, really harsh experience. But
go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Please,
I don't know. I'm just taking it. Instead of seeing it as an intruder, I just kind of see, because I simultaneously, like, I always see my guide standing next to me.
Uh-huh.
White light, you know, just this white, pure white light. And so I'll always see them flash or something. So I know that there's something either I'm experiencing or I'm releasing or, you know, something, there's some kind of learning that's going on when I do experience them now. And just kind of helping that, so I am protected, you know, if there's just some kind of experience just as an energy worker, a light worker, you know, that maybe I have to go through or have to experience. And so I experience it that way much more now than before.
And when you worked with the shaman, did you have that experience of that energy or that entity moving into the light?
She actually taught me to send a few into the light and what to ask, the questions to ask, and that kind of stuff, and really showed me how to command my space with them, and she was just telling me how to just, you know, there's usually unfinished business with them, whether it has to do with me or has to do with, you know, them.
Yes.
That kind of thing, and so, you know, she just kind of showed me how to do it and how to go about doing it. Most of the time, I just ignore them pretty much because there's always one somewhere. I mean, there's always one that follows me home somehow, somewhere. So, and I think it's because of my light and because I'm, you know, I probably send out signals that I am kind of receptive. So, but, you know, I've just learned to kind of work with that. It's just part of, it's not even part of being a light worker. It's just part of living now, you know.
Right.
So, a lot of it is just learning, you know, just learning how to deal with it, learning how to find the difference between the two and that kind of thing.
Right.
There's still a lot I need to learn.
When, I apologize for all these questions. When you were having your experience with the shaman and the entity went to the light, did you feel the entity's relief or excitement or anything like that?
Or their enlightenment or their relief. I don't know. I just know I felt a huge relief off of me. I mean, he was so embedded in me that it was crazy just in my auric field. But I could see a little bit of what she was doing firsthand. And so I could see him a little bit more in her space. And so I did see a little bit. I also felt a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, other than that, you know, and you can usually feel the environment change a little bit.
I've found that's like the highlight for a lot of people when we're doing a spirit releasement. The client that has come to me is the one who is experiencing for the spirit that we are releasing. So when that spirit moves on into the light, has the experience of completion or resolution or whatever that sets them free so that they can move on like that, it is a real rush for a lot of people to feel what that entity is feeling in that process of moving on. And so I was wondering if that was an experience that you had also.
I mean, I think at that point I was just so relieved that it was gone.
Yes.
You couldn't even tell. And she kept telling me to have a lot of compassion. But at that point, like, I was terrorized so badly by it. I've never experienced that. I don't know. It's kind of strange. It's, mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was projected because I was so afraid of it at that point. You know,
right.
So I don't know how much of it really added to it, but.
And, you know, fear really feeds lower frequency beings also. So the more in fear we are, we're like giving them a buffet to mm-hmm. eat at.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us don't know that. And we have to mm-hmm. learn the hard way of, like you are now, that even when you have somebody who has hitchhiked and followed you home, you know now not to go into fear about it because that's going to make it more difficult to deal with the energy of the entity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, though, I remember I had done a workshop and I came back and I had one. And I was just trying to fall asleep, and every time I tried to fall asleep, right before I'd close my eyes, I would hear heavy footsteps in front of my bed, like pung, 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 you know, and I'd open my eyes, and then it wouldn't let me sleep, you know. It was messing with me. And so I used all my protection and everything I knew, and all night long still. But I knew that I was okay. I called in my angels. I called in my guides. I asked my dad, who's on the, everybody who could help me with this in case it was a negative energy, just to help, you know, stand ground for me in a sense. And I remember, you know, feeling it was difficult, and I say that, not to feel fear. You know, I kept saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. You know what this is. It's just like, you know, and it's trying to get your attention. And I wanted to, and I have to say this, have the sense of it being a non-threatening thing. But because I was tired and because it was relentlessly bothering me, it brought up fear, you know, for me. And I can hear that with you, Pooja. It was like, I just want this thing out of here and gone, you know. And I get that people, that's why this work can scare people, because of that feeling. But let me tell you, it was just a teenager kind of energy that was trying to get my attention. And the next day, Davis came over and we smudged and drummed and did a blessing through the whole house. And I haven't had any signs of any more, you know, disturbance. And I really got that it was because she came in and she had this I'm not afraid of you kind of energy, you know, and you know, and she commanded it to be gone. And so the difference between her energy and mine was that I still had a little bit of, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want to be bothered by this anymore. So I was less afraid, but I didn't like it. You know what I mean? I was like this unwelcome guest in my house kind of thing, you know, and it was kind of, I wanted it gone. And so I think that because of the world, and like you were talking about, Pooja, that these energies can be very persistent. And I don't think that they're dark, but I get that they're persistent, you know. And because we didn't invite them in and they kind of followed us home, it takes a really grounded, loving space to actually try to set them free, you know, that we have to get to. And so what I got was, when I got into fear, I got really small. You know, my energy kind of contracted, and when it gets contracted, it wasn't able to actually communicate with them anymore and release them. So interesting how we're learning this one. This is a good one too to learn, because we are so affected by everything, you know. And people, if you're a light worker, you are going to be bringing that person, they come with them, you know what I mean? They come. I would say, wow, you've got lots of people in this room right now, and you can see them and feel them. So some think, oh my goodness, you can hear me, you can feel me, and so they stick around. So when we get better at our boundaries and we get better at the clearing, the fear, I feel, will start to dissipate. And have you felt that, Davis? Have you gotten less afraid the more you've been doing this work?
Right. The other thing I think is, I'd like to take an opportunity to say right now, too, is the importance of when we do a clearing to actually help these beings into the light.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of practices out there that don't do that, that those practices don't include that step. And so the spirit just keeps wandering, or the spirit goes and finds somebody else. Or you can clear them out of your house, but then what about your neighborhood? Or you can clear them out of a person, but what about the next? Where's that spirit going to go? What's the next step? So when we are doing whatever ritual or technique or process to clear our personal space or our homes, I think it's really important that we help these spirits into the light, and that we utilize our guides if necessary to help show them the way.
Yeah, I have noticed that with some of the shows that I've watched, that they boot them out of the premise. They kind of exorcise them, but they, I'm like, okay, well, where is that going? Where is that, that spirit gonna go? Find somebody else to kind of bother. And so I really get that clarity, and the conscious person who's doing the clearing has to come from the same space that they want to send them to the highest vibe frequency. They don't just want to kick them out of the space. Same with us. We just don't want them to leave our body, our etheric body, and go somewhere else. So this is a good one, because this is something that's those shows that I do watch. That's one thing I have been painfully aware of, is that, oh, that's interesting.
It is actually a real act of love to help a spirit.
Yeah. And it's not because they want to show that, yes, this entity lives here. And, of course, that's nice, because people don't believe that we can have spirits in our home, and they want to prove that they do exist. And that's well, and that's good, but then what do you do with it? So the next step for me, I like the shows where they have people that are helping the spirits cross over, and so that's what I kind of feel like you're doing, Davis, is you're helping people who have these entities, you're helping them cross over and fully go into the light and find and be, processed in a sense in light again, instead of just hanging in a neutral space, living through someone else's life systems. And I get that when you clear them, for myself, anytime I've cleared at that level, their life starts fresh. They are not burdened by these energies that are living through them anymore. So
right.
I have noticed that they feel lighter, brighter, more capable of things that they might have been afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like this work, because it's addressing something that we haven't really looked at as a part of the total healing that happens, And so, Pooja, you work as a light worker. Have you noticed more entities around people that you're seeing?
I haven't been doing as much work lately, so I don't know. But I do, I feel like they're around everyone.
Yeah, they are.
I did have a teacher say that he estimated 70% of the world's population had spirit attachments. So I think they are around a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember our teacher, the one we just did this entity release class, and she was talking about that a lot of schizophrenic people had really heavy attachments, and when she released them, they were different people. They were no longer needed medication. They got their lives back, and it got me thinking that how how many things are we assuming? And I say that assuming because people are just, they take everything as a physical thing instead, that it's a spiritual thing that's affecting our physical body, you know, on so many levels, especially anxiety and depression. We see that more and more and more. I mean, I probably know 12 people that are being diagnosed with depression, and I'm thinking, why couldn't this be really what has been going on? And because we don't want to, you know, address it to the next level of what it could be, we're just saying it's depression, here's a pill, you know, and never really getting anybody to the light or ever even feeling that much better, really, you know. So this is such a fascinating.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Pat.
Go ahead, love. No, go.
Edith Fiore, who wrote that checklist that I started with at the beginning of our show tonight, she's a psychologist, and she writes in her book, which is called The Unquiet Dead, she writes in her book that she's still not 100% convinced that there are such things as spirit attachments, but regardless, the technique works. That when she uses these techniques to help her clients, they get better.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's because she's clearing entities or helping them to clear entities from their field. But it doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. The technique works.
Right. And so that's a good question, Davis. Does somebody really have to believe in this for it to work? And how would you work with someone who is really not even at all believing any of this, you know?
I don't believe that people have to believe in spirits or spirit attachments for it to work. I believe it can work regardless. And I found that one of the ways that I introduce the concept to people is I ask them if they believe in ghosts, and most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask them what they think of haunted houses, and they believe in them. And then I just say, well, you know, a spirit attachment is kind of like a ghost in a haunted house, only the haunted house is your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit that's attached to you is the ghost, and it's hanging out with your body, and it's utilizing your energy, and it's influencing you either in terms of your thoughts or your behaviors and your feelings. And and I find that people are much more receptive with that approach than to say, well, you know, after talking with somebody for a little while, to just say, well, sounds like you've got an entity. Then they kind of bristle a little bit more to that. But I have done a few spirit releasements with people, and I didn't even bring up the idea that there could be a spirit attachment. I just started with the technique and saw where it took us and allowed the clearings to take place, and a couple of the people even afterwards still didn't see it as a spirit that was attached to them, but regardless, they experienced a shift afterward.
Right, and that's what you have to know, that just like Pooja said, they're around everybody, and so you can feel them and see them. For me, I can see them, so I get a lot of calls, and now I actually just say, let me just go in and see if I see anything. Is that okay? And I'll get permission, and they'll say, yeah, sure. And so if I see it, you know, I don't need that. I just need permission that they're okay with me releasing them, and so I can do it from a distance. And I have had great success where people say, well, I feel so much better. What did you do? And that's what I'll just do. I'll just do a clearing. But I, you know, go, I check the front of the systems, the side. I see what I, you know, I go into, and if I see something, I'll then ask, are you male, female? I'll do pretty much what I would do if they were with me in person, but I'm answering it, you know, me and the spirit are talking. So it can be done too. I think that it's just that we are addressing it, and that's really what I've gotten to understand, that that's what this next level of ascension is about, is really clearing people so that they can be fully present for their own experience on this plane, you know, and without the effect of these entities living through us, you know. So anyway, I get that. That's what this ascension. So I'm really excited that we're talking about this, because I do get that people really, that probably are listening saying, wow, this is interesting, you know, or I have this could be something I'd like to look into. So, Davis, if somebody wanted to contact you and do a session, you can do sessions over the phone. What
yes.
number would they call to reach you?
They could reach me at 775-720-6922. Mm-hmm. And if they would just reference your show, that would be helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. And you can always go to my my webpage, heartandsoulholistic.com. And if you had any further questions, please feel free to email me, and I will email it to Davis. I'm going to take another caller, okay? But so you can just hang on and listen, okay? It was so nice to listen to. It's so nice to meet, you know, hear your voice again, and I'm going to just take some other callers. So thank you, okay?
Thank you, Pooja.
Bye,
thank
Pooja.
You.
All right, 1 second. It's a 347 number. Hi, who am I talking to?
Toya.
LaToya? Hi, LaToya. So have you been listening a while? Do you feel that this has been something that you have been seeing in your life, some of these spiritual attachments?
Actually, I just tuned in.
Oh, you did? You just tuned in. Well, what we are talking about is we're really talking about spirits that that you may feel... maybe we'll let Davis talk about it a little. So,
or if you have a, do you have a specific question for us?
Actually, I did. I wanted to take a look at relationships
mm-hmm.
that I'm involved in.
Okay.
Okay, well, so what we're going to be doing is we're really not doing that type of reading, but what we're going to do is do a spirit attachment readings. So
okay.
What we'll do is ask you some questions, and we will be able to tell you, or you'll be able to tell us, really, if this feels like something that is resonating with you. So let's say, so Davis, you can ask her some questions that would bring her into that frequency of what we're talking about.
Well, my first question would be, what was your question about your relationship so that we can see whether we can address it or not?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I feel a connection, but yet again I feel like it's definitely distance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're not sure what's causing that sense of distance?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and how long have you known this person?
Around 6 months now.
6 months, and you've been dating? Have you been dating?
I've been dating for 4 months.
For 4 months, okay. And so you feel a connection, but you're not sure why you experience this sense of distance. Do you think it might have something to do with a spirit attachment, or were you calling Patty for a relationship reading?
A relationship reading.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. So what I would say is that the relationship is could be also being affected by entities that are connecting you to, you know. So just know that, like, when you meet somebody, all your entities are meeting each other too. And so sometimes you wonder, well, what happened? You know, mm-hmm. why is this, you know, person all of a sudden interested and then distant?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this is why I want to bring this back to Davis, too, because I think that this has something to do with what we're talking about. What happens with a lot of, and let's say you meet somebody and you connect, and then all of a sudden, some shift happens, and you're saying, I really don't understand what happened from one moment to the next.
Mm-hmm.
It could be very well, and this is what we're trying to bring it down to, it could be that an entity has come into the relationship, in a sense, has kind of interfered with the frequency of your relationship that's making you feel this distance. So that's why we're going to bring it back to this, because this is something that I would look into, and I would probably ask some of the questions, answer some of the questions that we, in the beginning of the show, if you wanted to, go back to the beginning of the show. There's a whole list of things that you could ask about the relationship. And then you can start answering them and to see whether or not you feel that this might be going on, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and because that's what something like spirit is always talking to us all the time, right? That's why that I can hear, and that's why you feel a certain thing. So listen to your feelings about it and see if you can, are you sensitive? Could you see around your boyfriend to see if there's something that doesn't feel or see, like if you looked at his energy systems, could you tell if he's having a good day or a bad day?
Yeah.
You could. Okay, so you are sensitive. So what I want you to do is just explore his energy field and see if you are drawn to something. It could be around his head, it could be around his heart, that feels like it's like icky. I always think it feels like I'm being taken there and it's got information for me. So then I want you to do this, you can even picture him in your head and just picture him and see if you are drawn to an area around your boyfriend and ask some questions. In the beginning of the show, you could ask some questions. Are you female? Are you male? See if you can come up with and feel out this one for yourself, because this is very powerful for people to learn and to get kind of connected to their information that's already in them. You know, this is the reality here. We all have the capacity to feel this one. Right, Davis? I mean, it's not
right.
Just for us. It's for you, too. You can know this information because it's just going to come to you naturally. It's going to be easy. I kind of feel like it just kind of comes out of you, and all of a sudden you've got like a dialogue with this information, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's try that. And if you wanted to really, explore it further, what we could do is, you could call Davis and set up a real session, I would do that and see what you can come up with, because this is more like, it feels like there's stuff there,
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like something's up. And when something's up like that, it's on many levels it came in, and that's something you have to say, is there someone else? But if you don't think that's, there could be, and that's something that you can find that answer to. So I would definitely say, Davis, don't you feel this is something she should explore as well?
Yes, and mm-hmm. and if you had some additional questions about the relationship itself and you were having trouble sensing what was going on directly, then you could always get in touch with Patty or with me, and we could walk you through it more specifically. But I would encourage you to try to do what Patty's recommending to start with, to
okay.
just get quiet and tune in and try to get away from the personal aspect of it and ask some questions. Ask some questions about, as though that part that makes him feel distanced from you were something you could talk to, and then ask, who are you? Why do you create this sense of distance, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
Try doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so what I would do is picture, you don't need to even have him in front of you. Just picture him up on a screen in front of you. And with your mind's eye, just do like a scan in the front of his body and on the side of his body and in the back of his body, and see if you're drawn to an area. And if you are drawn to that area, ask the question, are you female, male? See if you can start to dialogue with what you are seeing and feeling.
Okay.
And once you do get into, you might say, oh, it feels, I'm seeing a grandmother, or I'm seeing a grandfather, or I'm seeing a buddy that died, that's hanging out in his field. You might get information so clear, you're going to say, it's got to be, I've got to be right about this. Why would I just make this up? That's how you know. It's just let yourself experience it. and get some answers. You can even write it down. If you get a piece of paper, ask, you know, is it female, male? And just let yourself answer the question. You know, how old are you? Ask that question. How long have you been there? Ask that question. And then if you start to get a dialogue, you can do some release work. Ask it to it. How long have you been in my boyfriend's field? You know, in his energy field. And so as you start to release this energy from your boyfriend, what you will hope to feel is that he's more accessible. His energy is more accessible to you again, you know,
okay.
Because this energy will not be in the way.
Okay?
So, I mean, during a session, if you call Davis or call me, this is what we would do. We'd walk you through. It takes a little time, but you would get the answer, and it is very helpful. First of all, we'd have to make sure that it's his higher self is okay with this work, you know.
Okay.
So that we would have to make sure before we did anything, you know. But it is all, and to me, if it's for his highest good, you know, I believe that it's always reaching for the light, making sure he's in love and light is always for the highest good for that person's being. So. But I hope that answers some of the questions. This work is really about you doing it. You know, this show is more about teaching you how to do it yourself. I know. So it's not. I know I have shows and I do readings, and that's another show. But I really want you to try this one, okay? Because I feel that you can do this, okay? And
yeah.
That the more you're tuned in, you get to this frequency, the better it's going to be for you to tune into your own. All right.
Okay. Okay.
So much love, and let us know how it goes, okay?
I definitely will. Thank
all
you.
All right, love. Have a great
good
night.
Good
night. Bye-bye.
You too, good night.
Good night. Well, Davis, that was interesting because, you know, really it is about these things that make us feel a disconnect from people that we love. And, you know, when it happened with my son, I felt that. I could feel something was there. You know, and so I love that. But this is still on the same. It really is. It's still in the same premise of what we're talking about, but it's bringing it to another level of us seeing how affected we are with each other and how sensitive we are to these entities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think that our time is up, and I really, really wanted to thank you for this conversation.
Oh,
I really get
fun.
That. Yeah, it's fun, and I get that we really are about, you know, exploring the realms of possibilities that are always existing within us and around us. And so this show really just kind of brought it to light, and I really appreciate your time and your friendship over the years exploring this particular healing technique too. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Patty.
Yeah, and again, if you would like to get in touch with Davis, please call 775-720-6922, and you can set up a reading, in a sense, a healing. Would you call it a healing, or would you call it a session?
Yeah, or a clearing, yeah.
Or a clearing, yeah.
A healing, a session, yeah, all those mm-hmm. words work. Or even if people just have questions, they can either send their questions to you and you can forward the email to me
mm-hmm.
and I'll get back to them, or they can just contact you directly and then you can give them my contact information too.
Yes, and let me give you my contact number. You can email me Patty, Patti, Rio at AOL.com, and that will go right to my email, and I can answer any questions or give you any numbers if you happen, or connect you to Davis as well. And if you'd like to call me direct, my number is 530-318-3173. And thank you again for tuning in, and I will hope the highest for everyone out there that's listening. And we'll be back on next Wednesday at 6 p.m. We have an angel reader and medium that's going to, her name is Angelica Rose. She will be coming on the show at 6 o'clock next Wednesday. So thank you, everyone, for listening. God bless, and be well. And I'll talk to you soon, Davis.
Bye, Patty.
Bye-bye, sweetie.